This week on the program, there's two of them. It's Double Impact. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak. And Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
There's two of them.
Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to the fine program. As always, if you are new to the show, this is a comedy program where we use the plot of a film as the seed for a ridiculous and often blue discussion.
Yeah, seeds, just like, you know, the man puts in a woman.
Anyway, this is a double impact of double impact.
I have no idea what any of that was. It's from 1991, by the way, directed by Sheldon Lettich, who also directed Lionheart. Also directed previous episode, yes. Only the Strong.
Which is great film.
Also directed The Order, not that weird Heath Ledger priest movie, rather the JCVD movie where for some reason he gets caught up in a thing where he's stealing a Fabergé egg.
Oh, really?
That's exciting.
And of course, this is the movie where JCVD plays two JCVDs.
Mm-hmm.
One with a scumbag haircut and another with an even scummier scumbag haircut.
I've seen this movie 150 times.
Wow.
As a kid.
Really?
For some reason, I think it was an HBO situation.
Interesting. Somehow this was my first time, which is insane.
I had never seen it either, but I'm like very JCVD ignorant.
Mm. You're JCV deficient is what you are.
I am. Yeah, no, I definitely am, which I'm also fine with. Yeah,
that's your fan damage.
Yeah, this is a weird one, right? This was like, he wrote this movie, by the way. He co-wrote this film.
How much of that do you think, like with the final product we see on
and then
screen?
Then I kick.
Yeah, he just
had
to.
I get credit, he came up with the kick idea.
Inserted all the kicks. Like that's.
The hand job scene, I think, was him.
Yeah, I think that's part of
sounds
it.
Like,
it was a failed hand job, I would say.
The fantasy sex scene, definitely. Right.
That's
definitely
him.
That was intense.
Yeah, that reeks of Van Damme.
It's kind of a weird movie because this movie like has, it's like a checklist of action movie stuff that needs to happen. And like the plot is totally nonsensical. Like the idea that there's two of them, I get it. But like everything else.
Do you?
But like everything else is just sort of like, I don't know. What if they we need a tuxedo scene. All right, we'll get the tuxedo scene.
Sure.
Listen, here's the biggest problem with this movie as I see it from having just watched it for the first time a few hours ago. When you have a movie in where a single actor is playing twins, okay, the first and biggest priority for your film production,
one of them should be Danny DeVito.
Figure out the fucking double technology. They were doing it with the Parent Trap in the 60s or
the
maybe
Patty
the late
Duke
50s.
Show, dude. Like, we're talking about the 50s. It's crazy we didn't have that figured out.
This is garbage in this movie. It looks so fucking bad.
That's one of those like high def things you're like, yikes. He looks like a force ghost in some scene.
Get someone with like a mask on. Like, be like, oh yeah, he was born weird. That's why that one looks weird.
Oh no, it's me and my twin. But you just missed my twin. He's in the other room. So you talk to me and then when I... Oh, wait, let me go get Alex. He went downstairs. And he goes downstairs, comes back up with a red t-shirt.
He only talks on video phone. You just see his picture on a fuzzy screen.
All of this is better ideas than what this is. And you're totally right. There is like a fucking paranormal like glow to them when they're featured. It's so fucking bad. I thought like Vincent Chiavelli was gonna start screaming at them on the subway.
Get off my train.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Well, did you read the Tribune? It's from a pilot he was getting ready. My Ghost Brother and Me.
Oh yeah.
And he was getting ready for Showtime. It was an early one.
Talk about a one season television
this
show.
This somehow became a trend for Jean-Claude Van Damme. He played doubles a lot.
Like,
apparently, you know, in Time Cop, there's the other version of him in a different time.
Right.
A movie called Replicant, apparently, that I did not see. But Maximum Risk was a big one that also featured a double where he was like, he finds out he has like a dead twin. Like they find uh-huh. they find him dead, but it's not him. It's like another.
Oh,
like
that's kind of cool. Wasn't that that Chris Rock movie too, where he's yeah. in the CIA, but then he's also yeah. playing the twin who's not in the CIA? What was that?
That's Bad Company,
right?
That and Maximum Risk. Like they're in the beginning. The original one is in the beginning, and then they cut. And it's the piece of shit brother who has to take over.
Oh, no, I have to solve a murder. My own.
By the way, this is the Jean-Claude Van Damme impression. I apologize.
If you want to warm up for this this episode, a great entertaining way to do it is to watch the trailer for this movie.
Oh, YouTube. Yes.
Phenomenally poor, poorly written narration. It's just this guy just spelling out like everything that's in this movie in like a bad like narrator kind of way. I loved it.
But what he doesn't talk about enough is the tunnel, the Hong Kong tunnel that this
my
movie-
God, this is Wile E. Coyote fucking drew, painted a side of a wall. This tunnel looks like trash. It's just a mad painting.
It's really bad.
And like later in the movie, the whole idea is like, because like basically their parents were diplomats of some sort or businessman diplomats or whatever, that they partnered with the Hong Kong government and this other developer to create a tunnel from, I think it's Hong Kong to Kowloon or
Hong Kong to the mainland.
Yeah.
Is what they
yeah.
say. Yeah.
And it goes, and but basically like they're trying to like get the money for the tunnel.
I don't understand like, I don't, this. It's just like, it's just,
is it tolls? Is it like 20 years worth of tolls?
Yeah, I guess.
It's like, yeah, it's like you got to go back to Hong Kong and inherit your fortune from this tunnel. And there's even like one, the girlfriend character,
played by Alana Shaw.
Yeah, her character's Danielle. Like Danielle Wild. Yeah. Wild. Mm. Anyway,
Wild Stallion.
She's just like, well, do you have any documentation on any of this? And he's like, no, but I was there, Jeffrey Lewis says. And it's just like, wait, I don't understand the idea of like, I'm going back to Hong Kong. I have the heirs to the tunnel. And suddenly we get all this tunnel money. I don't think that's how it works.
What it would make sense is like, after that, you get a bunch of like government contracts that really get you a lot of money from other projects, not this one.
You, if you believe that, I've got a bridge I can sell you too. It's a bridge and tunnel situation. Ooh. You fucking idiot.
In Hong Kong, first you get the tunnel, then you get the women, then you get the power.
Where do I get the cocaine? Where's the, is the cocaine with the power?
There's definitely also, so this is actually great because while this movie is 1991, it is very much an 80s action movie through
for
and
sure.
through. Yeah. We have, first of all, as Steve mentioned, the diplomats. So these parents are the high up in society people mm-hmm. that are associated also with the villains who are also high up in society people. One guy is. Then we also have a quick reference, Chris Cabin, to mm-hmm. a vague drug trade
yep,
situation
yes.
That we see. There's like a bad drug deal that goes bust early on in the film, which we'll get to. So like for me watching this, it was a real throwback. I mean, we're in season 10 of We Hate Movies. This was like a season 2 situation.
Well, and also you're getting a lot of fake CNC Music Factory songs going
oh,
on.
Yeah. The music here is
incredible.
It's yeah. it's exactly 1991. If you want to know what 1991 was, exactly watch this film.
So the prologue to this film is the ribbon cutting ceremony for this fucking tunnel or whatever. The parents are there. We see the twins as little babies.
Yes.
You know, and you know, it's a big victory. We cut the ribbon. Everybody's happy. And then the parents are going home.
So this would take place, like, when was Jean-Claude Van Damme born, actually? Like, the 70s?
No, I think he's born in 1958.
Really?
I was looking at
are you serious?
Yeah.
1960.
Oh, 1960. Oh, he is 58.
So Nixon hasn't even gone to China yet, uh-huh. and they're building this tunnel.
Well, no, this is, but he's playing a little younger. This is 25 years earlier, so 91, oh, okay. That'd be like 76 or something.
Okay, they made it work. Okay. I just want to make sure they made
yeah,
it work.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, they for some reason thought to check that, and it was okay.
And like Jeffrey Lewis, Any Which Way But Loose's Jeffrey Lewis.
Absolutely, rest
amazing.
In peace.
Rest in peace.
Fantastic.
Fantastic rug on him. That guy's been bald forever, and I guess to like show that he's younger, they put this silly fucking rug on
his
head.
Listen, I'm going to push back a little bit. I think it looks pretty okay.
I thought it was fine.
He'll work with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at him and I was like, that looks pretty cool. I mean,
no matter what it looks like, Jeffrey Lewis has that natural Elon Musk that brings women in.
Absolutely. The Kavarka, dude.
Jeffrey Lewis, I love this one thing during the ribbon cutting. So they're having like this very professional, the two guys who invested in are like having this very professional discussion, like, oh, we finally did it. Thank God. And like they're getting ready to do this big unveiling. And fucking Jeffrey Lewis goes up to the Van Damme father and is like, sir, it's time to rock and roll.
And then it's great because then this dude who's like some British guy is like, well, honey, it's time to rock and roll.
Pedal to the metal.
And then so, yeah, it's this dude playing the father. This is Paul Wagner is the character's name. And he's partnered with Nigel Griffith.
Oh, that son of a bitch,
this
Griffith.
Crooked fucker, bastard. Man. So, yeah, we have the ribbon cutting ceremony. It's totally fine. Then the parents are driving home. Back to their mansion.
Uh-huh.
And Jeffrey Lewis is in the car behind them, and he's like the security detail. And the dad is like, hey, man, you know what? My wife got so horned up by this ribbon cutting ceremony. I can see the way she's looking at me. We're going to drive home. You can just go home for the night. You did a great job, you know. And Jeffrey Lewis is like, now listen, are you 100% sure you, creator of this controversial tunnel that was just opened, wants to travel by yourself at night? And he's like, yes, definitely. Don't worry about it.
Oh, dude, not on tunnel night, dude. You don't travel alone on tunnel night.
My new favorite holiday.
Well, the tunnel opens and then the purge is just
exactly. You never know what's coming through. What it's portal you just opened?
Oh, right, the portal.
It's like Train to Busan, like just a bunch of fucking zombies start flying out.
Flashback to them like digging this tunnel and they go through like the shimmer from like Annihilation. They're like, we don't know what this is, but we're going to keep building the tunnel.
Fucking bear people coming out, dude.
That's how Jeffrey Lewis loses his rug. He goes into the shimmer.
This would actually be a good movie, right? Like you have people are building a tunnel, like the new highway needs to go through here. I don't care if that mountain's been untouched and it was a burial ground and blah, 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 blah,
oh
blah.
Yeah,
and then you just have that fucking, there's like a gate under there, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I would watch that movie. I have a feeling I maybe have watched that movie, but
like someone drives a car through and then you see them come out on the other side of the tunnel, it's just a skeleton in the car.
But they're still wearing the hat that the guy was wearing while he was driving.
But they deal with something much more spooky, and that is the Yakuza. Who are much more dangerous.
The triads, actually.
Yeah. Yakuzas are Japanese. Oh, these are the Chinese triads. Just as dangerous, though, Chris Cabin, more so.
It's kind of funny because they're like really... Jeffrey Lewis is kind of awesome in this movie, I think, actually. He's like this real tough guy, whatever.
It's the most badass I've ever seen, this dude.
And he's like trying to have like... what do you call it? They're like back and forth with this like nobody actor playing Paul Wagner. He's like, hey, Mr. Wagner, I got you a cigar box. And he's like, oh, I'm going to throw this in the garbage, Jeffrey Lewis. And it's like, well, actually, sir, I paid a lot of money for it.
Hope you kept the receipt, asshole.
Because, yeah, it's an empty cigar box. It's a monogram thing. It becomes somewhat important later.
Oh, it becomes barely important later, Steve.
The lighter becomes important.
Oh, yeah, I guess kind of.
But as Chris is, he's like, hey, man, are you following me right now? And he's like, no, sir, you gave me the night off. He's like, well, then I'm being followed by the triad. And this is when Jeffrey Lewis is driving a convertible. You just need to put him in a fucking compact car because the stuntman is incredible.
The stuntman is a different race. It's not in the ballpark.
I don't know what he looks like, a fucking Asian Lou Ferrigno. Like, it's insane. Like, come on, just try to match it at all. Give him the same wig. Let him borrow the wig.
Because I know, like, it's Hong Kong. Obviously, there's not a lot of white people walking around, and especially doing stunts. So you want to get whoever you got.
You want to get the best of the best.
But honestly, dude, just put him in a better car.
Put a top on that car. Tint those windows, please.
Just anything.
I'm not going to get confused. If you have the interior shot and he's like, oh my God, and you see him jerk the wheel, then you just cut to a car outside with the windows tinted and it fucking flips around, we can piece it together.
It would be less confusing if the skeleton we were talking about earlier was just suddenly in the car. And then we cut back and he's fine.
So he flies back to the estate where the triad has already started laying waste to these people.
This is a brutal scene.
It's fucking crazy. So awesome, though. And this is, you see Nigel Griffith, of course. He's there. shacked up with this dude, Raymond Zhang, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's the leader of the crime syndicate, the head of the crime family mm-hmm. here. So the two of them are sort of teamed up, and they fucking shoot these parents to ribbons, dude. It's fucking like brutal Batman.
No, it is brutal Batman.
I'm sorry for what I did. But what exactly... Okay, so they explain this later. We can just talk about it now. Because sure. It's like... The tunnel was completed with money from the triads from Zhang.
From Zhang's family put in money with Griffith to finish because Wagner ran out of money.
And they killed them because they were the heir to the tunnel fortune? Yes. Like, what is going on?
They're sucking up yes. that toll money, dude.
I don't understand. The money part of this is a big question mark. But much like any real estate project, the mafia is involved.
Sure.
In any
dude,
event.
The mafia helped out with the Freedom Tower, man. don't think twice about that.
Honestly, God bless them. We are very pro-mafia on this program.
That's a triad. Chinese, Japanese mafias, any mafia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, international crime syndicate. Yeah. Kids.
These
yeah.
are businessmen protecting their families and communities, and it's honestly the best line of defense we have. So, but I just don't understand. Like, no, these people are moneyed. You could lean on them forever. Why just wipe them out here?
I don't understand. Like, it's just like, and then all of the money goes to Griffith? Question mark.
I don't know, but also I don't know that the movie entirely knows, I think we might be running in circles if we try to crack it.
Is there one last giant government check coming in that hasn't been cleared yet or something, and that's what they want to get?
Maybe. Maybe was it a thing where, like, Mr. Wagner, right, found out about the, like, crime money that was put in, and he had a problem with it.
Oh, maybe he's
gonna... like, you know, damn it, Griffith, like, I sent you out to raise funds for this tunnel that Hong Kong so desperately needed constructed, and you fucking took crooked, dirty money and put it in here. Maybe that was the thing, scenes deleted. I don't know. This movie's already almost 2 hours.
He's too busy belittling Jeffrey Lewis for not giving him cigars on top of the nice fucking thing.
Dude, that was a shit move, dude.
Bullshit. Complete fucking bullshit. Why don't you die? I'm glad.
Wait a second. Wait, what is the bullshit move? Calling him out for not having cigars? Or giving someone a cigar case and not fucking bothering to put some cigars in.
I mean, come on. Well, I guess, all right, so this is the best analogy would be, when you get a new system from somebody, a new gaming system for uh-huh. Christmas,
uh-huh.
do you want a game in there or do you not want a game?
You obviously
well, of course want a game in there. What are you fucking crazy?
Of course you want the game. That's not up for discussion.
Okay.
Like whether or not you should call them out for not receiving the game.
Yes, exactly.
That's a bullshit move. You're a multimillionaire. Go fuck yourself.
You hang up and you go to your wife like, no fucking cigars. My God, what is this guy's problem?
We got to give him a raise so I start getting better gifts from him.
I think three cigars minimum for that.
Yes, you have to fill the box.
And Mario Brothers minimum for a gaming system. That's exactly your baseline.
Right. No, that's exactly right. You know what? You're exactly right. Yeah. My wife got me a Switch for my birthday a few months ago. She bought me Mario Odyssey with it. Bang, bang, boom, baby. That is how you gift a game system.
A little rich for me. But like, no, like you gave him a very nice thing. That looks like a nice box.
It did.
And that looks like a nice lighter.
It was a monogram, everything. So but the best, so it's them and the maid. So they're getting out. They see the triad. They're like, oh, this is trouble. The dude, the husband tries to, he has a gun in the car. He tries to unsuccessfully. Someone in the production team starts like stapling meat to these people.
Dude.
It's like squibs, but also like, I don't even, it looks so
it's like,
bad.
Such like body horror. Like suddenly they're becoming a werewolf.
It's insane because like what they're doing is like the aftermath of the gunshot is like, their shoulder is just exploding like, and all this meat's on the
suddenly
outside.
Suddenly ground beef is coming out of me.
Well, dude, so the husband gets it really bad, this Paul Wagner, because it is hilarious. This car, he sort of just like punches the side panel and this like cheap ass like little thing falls down. The gun's like hidden in it.
Oh, yes.
Like duct tape's barely holding this fucking thing together.
It looks so fake.
He gets murdered. He gets really shot to shit. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. I hope the movie doesn't, tap out right there. I was correct because the very next death is the wife who gets a fucking shotgun to the face. And they have a shot because this is when Jeffrey Lewis pulls back up, his character Frank Avery. Yeah. And he fucking looks at that scene of carnage, and they have like the woman laying down, and that head is Hamburger.
Well, he goes, and then Bola Yoon from, what do you call it there, from Bloodsport is like the number one heavy, great looking heavy in this movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He's playing Moon, by the way.
And he comes out.
Been fantastic in everything I've seen.
He's about the size of a moon.
And she goes, this woman's dying words are, what's going to happen to my children? And he has a shotgun and goes, you'll never know. And he fucking ices her.
Wow.
It's brutal.
What a way to send someone into the afterlife. Holy shit.
And there's this maid that he's about to kill. That's when Jeffrey Lewis shows up. He shoots Jung in the face here, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a through the car window situation. Yes. So not only is it like bullets are going everywhere, but like you got glass in your face. Which pays off later with some hilarious makeup effects.
And they're it's basically like him and this the nanny are like, look, take a kid. Let's see what we can do here.
Well, the nanny. No, it's fucked up because Jeffrey Lewis is like, get the babies out of here or whatever. And this lady only takes one and runs into the forest. Yeah. And he's like, And then he's got to grab the other one.
Holding two babies at once. You know what I mean? Like, look,
you were hired to protect those kids.
Right. But I guess she doesn't because I guess she eventually just gives one to Zhang or whoever.
No, to the orphanage.
The orphanage. Okay, yes. Right.
Yeah. She,
but the kid grows up to be a life of crime, so I thought he was somewhat connected to that. But
you never know. But so and then Jeffrey Lewis is like, well, I guess I'll raise you in France, which is my favorite. We cut to Hollywood, and now finally Jean-Claude Van Damme's in the movie. And he is you see him doing an aerobics class at first.
This is high eroticism.
Dude, he's working at, first of all, he's working at Wanda's workout.
We here's Hollywood. Here's like the people walking around. Here's the Hollywood sign. Here's a woman's crotch. We are going to just peer this camera down.
It was crazy because like it starts out like, you know, filming this woman, you know, from her head or whatever. And then it like starts moving downtown. And I'm like, well, we're going to cut eventually, right?
Yeah, no.
No.
Almost get to Toe Town.
Oh, my God. It's pretty fucking crazy.
I thought you were going to talk about his fucking voluminous ass that you see in this split. And this spandex, it's really something.
This is a twofer, man. This has got something for everyone.
It does. Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to do that split on my face. Did you see this ass? This is incredible.
This ass terrific. Is
unreal.
And this is, he's wearing like tights and like a bunch of like heavy socks and sweat things on his ankles and whatever. And he's telling this woman like the importance of stretching.
Oh, you've got
and
to then stretch.
They cut out and it's like a semicircle of babes.
Yes.
And he's like doing this aerobics instruction or whatever. And he's like, because my calves are so big and muscly, I stretch out so I can do the split, and he fucking does it. The JCVD split, man.
I will say it was a really nice touch to have all the hearts in the women's eyes all animated and bulging.
They got the same animator from Roger Rabbit.
Well, it's kind of like the same scene in the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, but instead of a cast, a schoolroom full of like doe-eyed, you know, college girls like Harrison Ford. It's just all these like it's kind of like the beginning of Stranger Things season 3 with Steve, whatever his name is,
The lifeguard dude.
Yeah, Billy.
Yeah,
everyone's right, like, right. Oh, you go to the JCDVD class today, Wanda? Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, I'll be there. He's interrupted by Jeffrey Lewis, who's like, "Hey, man, you got to go take over the karate class." Yeah. And I'm like, what kind of institution is this? You're doing gymnastics, aerobics. Mm-hmm. And then like in the next room is karate.
It's pink karate, but by the way, everyone has to wear a pink gi, which look great because again, it's 1991. Pink is everywhere.
Yeah, Bart put his ball cap in the washer.
And there's this like fucking scummy British guy. JCVD comes in. He's like, hold on. Why you have a black eye? To this other guy. He's like, oh, it's the new guy. And he's like, this dude goes, all right. Hello, my son. You think you're better than me? I come to karate class to fight everyone.
It's so like, awesome. This like Englishman karate student who may or may not be, but probably is definitely half in the bag. And he's still a karate master. And so JCVD's like, oh, you give my friend a black eye, huh? And he's like, yeah, from all me kicks. And he's like, oh, why don't you show me some of your kicks? And then JCVD fucking lays this dude out. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's delightful. Then Jeffrey Lewis has a meeting with this guy and he's like, Well, and this is Alex, by the way, Jean-Claude Van Damme as Alex.
No, this is Chad.
Sorry. Jean-Claude Van Damme as Chad.
Right.
Hanging Chad.
Or he is actually what all incels are afraid of, is
JCVD.
Yeah, he is
the Chad.
Oh, you're right.
He's exactly
JCVD.
Yeah,
like a gorgeous dude that could do this, but like all the women adore him.
Exactly.
Like, they all want to be him.
Interesting, though, but when he meets Alex, Alex is the Chad and he's the virgin.
Exactly.
That's true. Oh, dude, I guess that's like
how fucking
the toilet goes down one way in a certain hemisphere.
Yes.
Like, he's the Chad of L.A. Uh-huh. Alex is the Chad of that hemisphere.
Yeah, Hong Kong. Jeffrey Lewis, he's like, well, you know, let me just lay out a lot of exposition. You know how you were raised in France? And he's like, yeah.
I do recall.
And he's like, good, because that your accent's out of the way now. That's good. We got that done.
Check. Which, like, you know what?
You know how Alex was raised in a French orphanage in Hong Kong?
We, I think, should be okay with that, because how many times have we complained about Arnold playing, you know, John Jones,
and
they never explain it? I'm fine with it. It's poorly delivered, but I'm fine with it.
It's like, well, you know, you're not actually French. You were born in Hong Kong, and we're going back there for business. And by the way, I'm not your uncle. And like, Jean-Claude Van Damme is just like, well, that's kind of weird. And everyone's calling this dude Frankie, by the way. I love it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, that's kind of weird, Frankie. Okay. And it's like if my mother was like, hey, Steven, we have to go to Hong Kong for reasons. By the way, I'm not your mother. I'm like, I'm not getting on the plane until I figure this shit out.
Yeah, one thing at a time here.
Exactly.
Also, I'm just raised by this dude named Frankie.
Yeah.
And I'm like 25, going on 26 in Los Angeles. I look like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Guess what? I'm not working with him. You know what
I mean?
Yes,
exactly.
I'm not working with his business. I'm doing my own shit.
Well, it helps that Van Damme and Jeffrey Lewis look identical. That you can see, they can make that work.
I don't understand why Jeffrey Lewis was inspired to open this fucking karate
what
aerobic
took them
studio.
From France? What took them from
what
France?
What even happened
why,
in France?
Why are we suddenly in Hollywood?
And the bigger question, where's Wanda?
Yeah, where is Wanda?
It's Wanda's workout. Where the fuck is Wanda?
That's a great question.
She's in the freezer in the basement.
On the hold on, Frankie. I can't stay here. I have to solve this killer workout. Someone is killing people with a large safety pin.
He's got a basement like fucking Buffalo Bill.
Absolutely.
With just a lady soaking in a tub.
That's what I mean. I don't know why I've never mashed the action genre and the slasher genre together. It's like, oh, here comes this slasher, but uh-oh. I mean, like, Killer Workout kind of does that. There are a few karate fights in that movie.
Yeah, there's some action horror out there. Not a ton, and not in the way I would like it to be executed, which is basically one of these, like, beefhead JCVD movies.
Yes.
And then there's just, like, some horror stuff floating
around.
What
about Straw Dogs? I think the home invasion genre is ripe for it.
That's a good point.
So we go to Hong Kong. He's into it. And they just go to Hong Kong. We immediately cut. You see this fucking low-flying plane, by the way?
No.
I was like, wait,
dude,
what movie is this about to turn into?
I thought it was fucking Remember Me.
I mean, it's insane. They're like, all right, here's downtown Hong Kong. And this plane is like right there.
Yeah, look, 1993.
Look, Chad, we cannot afford the ones that go all the way up. This is a border, you know, this is a budget airline, and they just fly low the whole time.
We go straight from the airport to a mahjong parlor, which is Alex's mahjong parlor, the other Jean-Claude Van Damme, but Chad doesn't know that.
And Chad doesn't want to go. He
wants to
like,
go shopping.
He's like, when Jeffrey Lewis is like, no, we're doing with the mahjong parlor. He's like, no, I'll go back to the hotel, take a shower, a shave, fantastic.
Well, that's
I just love that delivery.
But that's what I would do too. It's a fucking 14-hour flight. Like, wait, hold on. We're not going anywhere. I need to shower. I'm taking a nap.
I got to clean these balls.
Exactly. By the way, we're going to find out in 5 minutes. He's been wearing silk underwear and high shorts the entire time. It's a fucking mess down there.
Absolutely, dude.
He fucking flooded the plane. Ball sweat down the aisle.
I cannot imagine A, wearing silk underwear on a flight, B, wearing on it for 14 hours, and C, going anywhere after that without changing and showering.
And the combination of pink shorts and a teal polo tucked in, it's quite something.
It's quite arousing.
Can I just say, though, the most shocking detail is that he's bothering to wear underwear at all?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
What's it? The chafing.
I'm free balling.
Chafing. There's going to be chafing no matter what.
He's physically fit, dude. The chafing for the fit happens
you get
much differently.
He's thick thighs, though. He's been working on them.
That's true.
Those
but it's not what you'd call chub rub, though.
No, it is not that. Still gets red and sore down there, though.
Well, are you sure?
He's big on the baby powder.
Listen, I think we need to check. We need to get a hunk.
Okay.
Strip him.
Okay.
Check for rashes.
First of all, I like this plan already.
Any moles that look weird that we need to report?
Get on a fucking 14-hour flight, my God, and then silk underwear. I can't even wear. You know what, dude? No way. And I've never worn silk underwear. I'll say it out loud. I don't care.
It's fine.
I haven't either. But I'm curious.
I'm curious as well. Is it silk boxers, right? It has to be silk boxers.
Yeah.
It's not silk jockeys. That's crazy.
No. They were what? At least my experience was it was a pair of silk boxer shorts.
But even that's just, it's not the most comfortable situation.
Well, let's just say I don't wear them anymore.
Exactly. Not when you're going to Hong Kong, dude. No,
because you don't like anywhere. Real freedom.
It's supposed to be soft, right?
Yeah, it's soft.
Guess when it gets wet and grimy, it's not. That's
when the plan falls apart.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, he's pissed off that he can't go get a shit shower and shave, and he's got to go to this Mahjong parlor. And he's
added his shit in there. I love it.
Of course.
Frankie, I need to take a shit.
That's the subtext.
Listen, Frankie, this is great. You have kidnapped me to go to Hong Kong. Excellent. I just need a good place to shit.
I must shit right now.
I'm not going to shit in the place of ill repute either. Not this Mahjong gambling parlor.
And he like explains what Mahjong is to him. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of like dominoes mixed with five-card stud. And I was like, is that what Mahjong is? I mean.
Got me swinging.
He could be right, but that was just weird.
So, Chad is handed like tea, someone hands him money. Yes. People are mistaking him for his brother Alex, who is a crime kingpin of Maja fame.
Right. I had a question here. Were we dealing with no subtitles on what those dudes were saying? Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if my Amazon was just fucked up or something.
And I mean, I don't know, we've all been in relationships, and when your girlfriend, wife, or whomever sees you for the first time of the day, she grabs you by the dick immediately.
Of course.
Right? That's what happens.
That's just,
it starts to give you a hand job, like in the middle of a place.
They go to a back room.
Okay.
She's like, hey, let's go back here. And the fucked up thing is, through all of this, is that Frankie knows the score the entire time.
Well, that's the thing. I don't understand the point of like, oh no, it'll be hilarious if he doesn't know. Like, just in LA, be like, look, you got a twin brother. I just discovered him. I'm paid a private detective. We have to go find him.
Right.
That makes all. Then I'm getting on the plane. It makes a lot more sense.
But it's way less hilarious, though.
Well, I didn't let him go and take a shit or to shower. At least I let him have a sex crime. Just a quick sex crime.
It's like Jeffrey Lewis's thing here. It's like, listen, I know they are twins. Like, to make sure I'm definitely in the right place.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring this guy in.
Oh yeah, he's then, like the barometer.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, that's the dude. And he's like, all right, I'm in the right place.
This woman takes him to this back room and instantly puts her hand down his pants, and he's totally fine.
Well, he's kind of there for sex tourism. What I'm understanding.
Well, this is his everyday. Look at that fucking aerobics class. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
And this is Alona Shaw.
She's
from King of New York and a few
other things. She is in King of New York.
I think she retired. She was a pretty good actress. She's pretty good in this. It's a big role, but small.
Yeah.
The two female leads in this movie do not act anymore.
No.
This starts going on, and then it's like, what's happening here? And then here comes other JCVD, classic headbutt situation. A lot of headbutts in this
and
movie.
And now, Chad is the fun-loving one. He's got like a moosed up kind of like Johnny Cage-esque kind of hairdo.
Right. It's slicked all the way back.
Alex is slicked all the way back. Right. And he's like the one smoking cigars all the time.
He's the one your girl told you not to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing that's a bummer, though. I always just assumed, because I knew what this movie was. It was a lot of like pass by the video store box for it a lot, right? I could have sworn, and it's a missed opportunity that it's not, that the Alex twin does not have a ponytail.
Yeah.
That sucks. Because even, like, I get it, you're just slicking it back so you don't have to do much on the shoot or whatever. Just get a fucking hair extension ponytail thing and put it in there.
That's easy.
Grease it up. No one's going to know.
And I mean, like, first of all, so she grabs his dick and she's like, oh, it's the same dick. Which, I don't know twins, but
Twins out there, you got the same genitalia?
Yeah, right into the mailbag.
Sure, it's a little different.
Well, yeah, because sometimes twins, even identical.
Twins of the same sex, by
the way. Like, right, yeah, identical twins, not platonic.
Sometimes they're a little taller, a little shorter.
Platonic twins.
They're not, they don't fuck each other.
No, platonic twins are.
Is that what it's called?
They don't look alike, yeah.
Well, here's the biggest difference is Chad clearly clears the brush. Alex does not.
Yes, that's exactly
Alex, great point. Lets it grow right. And lets it smell whatever it is.
Bush.
He's wearing the silk. He's doing the splits. The splits you don't want to do with a jungle. You don't want to.
No, that's true.
Maybe I made that up. I thought I didn't.
Platonic is like.
No, I know what platonic means. I thought.
So there are different words for.
So twins that don't
twinge.
Fuck.
No, non identical twins.
Not, okay, wow, it sounds exactly how it is.
No, but Steve's right. There is a term.
Fraternal, I apologize.
Fraternal.
Oh, there, wow. Well, maybe you should get back to fucking school, asshole. Read a fucking book and learn something. That's how you all treat me whenever I say something weird.
Yeah, but you're like 10 for 10. That is just a random mistake.
No, that's not a random mistake. This dude's fucked up.
Yeah, and he's not talking about impregnating people through the butt.
Who has talked about impregnating through the butt?
All right, we are now.
We were dancing around it once.
Okay.
Anyway, after that headbutt, JCVD2 drops the first of a couple of gay slurs in this movie and just righteously tosses that word out there to his brother.
At the very least, Alex is supposed to be sort of a bad guy, is my understanding. I mean, he's cool in quotation marks. Mm-hmm.
But he's wrapped up in this crime syndicate.
Yeah, he's not a good dude. I'm not making a defense of it, but it's not, I don't think it's a joke. I think you're supposed to laugh at it.
I think he's supposed to be badass. Now, this is the fucking twin. Now, here, finally, the fucking action guys.
Yeah, well, because that's actually true. The interesting, I think, Van Damme does okay playing two characters in this movie, just okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And one, it's kind of interesting because one is your classic, like, rough and tumble, I eat fucking glass for breakfast, bad guy. And the other is almost like the comic relief, almost. You know what I mean? Like, I guess.
Yeah, they sort of position it that way because I guess from their point of view, the joke is like, look at this dude who likes staying in a nice hotel and wears nice clothes and doesn't have his hair slicked back like a scumbag. Like, okay, yeah, I guess that makes him the comic relief of the movie.
Sure
that's
this guy doesn't smell like a tire fire.
But so not Chad, but Alex, guaranteed Alex. So Chad's wearing like the silk boxers. Alex, guaranteed banana hammock situation.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think he's freeballing it, dude.
You think so? In those jeans? You can't freeball in denim, dude.
Yeah, it's tough.
You're just asking.
Although, no, he's into
it,
though.
You could, like, you could work your scrotum into, like, a rawhide.
Yeah.
It like, rubs against denim nonstop that it slowly becomes, like, leathery.
Yeah, you're like, you're like a guitarist. You know what I mean? Your hands get calloused.
Yes, but now I realize that can't be the case if their dicks were so similar that,
that's true.
That Alana Shaw would be mistaken. But,
there you go.
I'm with Steve on this. I think he has a calloused ball sack.
Yeah. Moving on.
Jeffrey Lewis is like, hey, look, you're twins. It wasn't this great? And they're like,
came all the way here for that announcement.
And then he's like, by the way, you're inheriting a tunnel. Now listen, everybody, sit down. I'm going to work through the finances of you inheriting this tunnel.
Could you?
Could you, honestly?
Please.
It just cuts to like him in a Brazil-like room with a bunch of papers flying everywhere.
And just you cut to different Van Dammes like nodding along and then asking questions kind of a thing.
Billboard, like, not billboard, or dry erase
yes,
boards.
Exactly.
Filled with numbers.
So the situation is laid out. Here's what we have to do. We got to take out Zhang and Griffith and blah, blah, blah. And Alex is not having it, and he responds one of the greatest lines in the movie to his brother, take your black silk underwear and go back to Disneyland. This pronunciation of Disneyland is fucking hilarious.
Is that Euro Disneyland?
Yeah. Open for business.
Only people with silk boxers allowed.
25% off, dude.
Silk boxers. Yeah, I would always, but...
it's a fabric.
I just lost it. I lost it.
Oh, you got wrapped up in the silk underwear talk?
Maybe you should go back to school. Learn biology, my lord.
But this is the thing where this movie totally becomes nonsensical. Like, so he's like, the tunnel. And like, Alex and Chad are not in on it. And then we kind of just cut to them in the middle of this job that Alex is doing, right?
Yeah, he's like, well, if you're going to take up all my time, come on my boat. There's this illegal thing I have to go
come
do.
Come on my boat.
So, yeah, we cut to them like they're just out on the high seas.
Yes.
And he's meeting up with this other boat. And these dudes come on the boat and he's like, all right, like, you know, here's what you came here to pick up. And he takes blankets off of these two very expensive looking cars. And he's like, oh, they can't buy these in China, blah, blah, blah. And then they open the trunk and it's filled with all these other riches and everything.
It's like an illegal turducken, right?
Yep.
It's like yeah, basically it's a bunch of illegal shit crammed into another illegal device.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So I mean, like, that'd be hard to like. Is it like a prize pack he's giving these people? Like,
kinda. It's a lot of merchandise, man.
It's like a loot crate. It's, like, yeah. Do they know what's inside of this thing?
Or they're
like,
very excited to see the several cartons of cigarettes.
Your illegal loot crate. It's got cartons of cigarettes, donkey porn,
a bunch of coke.
What else is in there? Cocaine. All right, this is a good month.
Rambo style semi-automatics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the firepower is legit.
Can I trade your car for mine? I got child pornography. You got the semi-automatic. If we can just trade those. Like, no. There's no trading. Each one is a goodie bag that I've made specifically for you.
Yeah, there's definitely a horse bride in the backseat of one car, maybe. We're just all out on illegal waters here.
A Scarface t-shirt just for kicks.
It is illegal. It is from a screen cap.
One is Scarface, but then the other one is that horrendous t-shirt of it's the Simpsons, but it's made to look like the Sopranos.
Oh, yes.
T-shirts should be burned in the town square.
And then like one of Bart fighting Saddam Hussein, because it is 1991.
That's right. Yeah, don't have a cow, man.
So, yeah, you got all the cocaine. That's what I need. I don't need the t-shirts. Can we trade here or what?
But we all got the equal amount of cigarette cartons, so nobody will be fighting over these cigarettes in China because you don't want that happening.
Shit, you got the Jeffrey Dahmer statuette? I've been looking for one of them, man. Fuck.
Come back next week. You'll never know what's inside my crazy cars.
And then because I guess this does happen all the time. The Hong Kong police show up on a boat and it's like, you know, we're going to board and take all this stuff. Definitely don't go anywhere. And these fucking boats take off. What is the thing though? These guys that are buying all the shit try to take over Alex's boat?
I think
there is a fight here.
They think that they're set up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Alex
right.
Tipped off the police.
That's right. So there's a little bit of a fight. These dudes get thrown in the water.
There's a lot of kicks in the water. One dude gets kicked in the throat in the water. I think the fight choreography is pretty good in this movie.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Multiple throat kicks in this film.
For sure. Which I don't know how, if you're a stuntman, how do you take a throat? What's the right way to get kicked in the throat?
I think it's one of those, like, you're faking it. You're getting the distance, like you're measuring the dude's leg and whatnot.
You just get really tense real quick. Like,
doing necks exercises. Yeah. I got a throat kick scene next week.
Flex your neck abs real quick.
Neck abs.
So they're trying to get away in Alex's boat, and it's like, well, we got to drop some of this weight here. So Chad and Frankie dump the two cars with all the merchandise into the water, and Frankie fucking shoots these cars and blows them up, like effectively stopping the police from, I guess, just driving around them, sailing around them.
Well, it's legal to blow up cars in the ocean, so.
That's true.
They effectively get away. And
oh, no, that's all that. There's illegal cancer medicine in that one. Shit. Shit, I should have held on to that.
And then that just cuts, and we never speak of that operation again.
No, not at all.
We sort of do for a little bit, but nothing ever really comes of it.
We cut to, they're all having like lunch at some like outdoor cafe, and it's Frankie and Alana Shaw, or Danielle Wilde,
Danielle's the character.
And the two twins. And again, this movie is smart, where there's only like probably five shots of them in the same shot.
Yep.
And they're all terrible.
Yep.
But this is one of those.
They know it.
Yes.
And, you know.
So they get around it, but there's this great thing where like Chad is afraid to eat some sort of live frog thing.
Well,
and
no, he. This is what's fucking stupid.
There's
he
a frog sees, snuff film. In
yeah,
this.
There is.
It's
yeah.
disturbing.
Yeah, no, machine comes out and cuts this frog's head off. But then it's like, that's what Chad is looking at. But then you look at what he's got. in the chopsticks. He's just eating dumplings.
Yeah, which looks amazing.
It's just shumai or something. It looks delicious. And like he doesn't want to eat it. And, you know, Frank's like, come on, Chad, let's just eat it, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, what's it supposed to do? Make my dick bigger?
Well, like, it'll make a man out of you.
And oh, is that what he says?
It'll make my dick. And he looks at like Alana Shaw like, right? Could it eat? First of all, you felt it down there. Could it even get any bigger? Oh, God. Am I right?
Because in that failed jerk off scene, yeah, he was like, oh, it's a big surprise. Oh, it's huge.
Oh, yeah, he does do that.
Huge. Right before he gets that headbutt, though, he's like, you want to go back for like a second look or something like that? And her response is like, oh, is there something else in there? It's like, what?
That's right. I have a vestigial tail down there. Don't worry about it.
Wait a minute. This isn't Alex. He's got a tail and he doesn't have that calloused ball sack.
That's right. Right now in my silk boxer shorts, there is one, a huge cock, and two, the remote control to my VCR. It's where I keep it at all times.
This is a loose, warm ball sack. I don't know. No, this isn't my man.
Oh my God. Man. There's this great... The one thing I don't understand is, like, so Griffith is supposed to be this legitimate businessman, like, and Danielle is working for him.
Correct. Has been for the last 5 years, we're
told.
So
she is totally a straight-laced... up on the go business lady that's dating a fucking drug dealing smuggler that runs an illegal mahjong parlor?
Yes.
Question mark.
Hey, man, you know what, Steve? Love is blind.
I guess so.
Right? I mean, I once watched a movie where, you know, a princess fell in love with a roguish smuggler as well. Like, you know?
Yeah, I guess. She just watched Star Wars all wrong?
Yes.
She's dating this fucking Hong Kong pirate?
She's dating Scarface, dude. Exactly. She didn't finish that movie.
Didn't work out well for anybody.
Yeah, all of her exes look like Harvey Keitel.
I mean...
God.
Let's say
what, like, a track record.
Bunch of smugglers.
Let's say I'm living my straight laced legal life, you know, which I always do.
Absolutely. You never broke the law.
Never once. And I meet Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, I'm sorry, but we're taking risks now. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sure.
It's worth rolling the dice.
Why not?
And she is, I mean, we'll get into this more later, but like she's into Chad as well. It's very obvious. Yes. When he makes the stupid, like, what does it make my penis bigger?
Yeah.
She's the only one at the table who's laughing.
Because it's fucking funny.
Is it?
First of all, she wants to angle the JCVD threesome. That's entirely her
goal.
That
is the angle.
That's tough, though.
That is what you need to achieve. I don't understand, like, going with Chad while you're also with Alex, because you got that fucking shit at home.
Exactly. That's
fine. Find
time,
some
whatever.
Different dick.
Maybe he knows some different techniques, though. He's doing
that. Yeah.
And maybe Alex doesn't do everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Here's what.
Speaking of the Sopranos.
That is what I think you're right. I think it's that combined with, I can have that dude, but with like a normal life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's shooting people on boats.
Yeah. And same wiener, better job.
And if you are going to do an Eiffel Tower, you want one person who's at least been to France.
Oh, that's true. He was reared there.
I think that's the stipulation, Chris. You're right.
Horrible statement, but actually brought me to where I wanted to go.
Sure.
Which is, I'm curious. Why does Alex have the French accent? They never talk about it because they do have that. Well, you were raised in France, Chad, but Alex was raised in Hong Kong. He would speak
like a British accent.
It's barely touched on, but Alex is the one who's left on the doorstep of that orphanage.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's a French nun who's zut alors, it's a baby.
Oh, she does? Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I don't even remember that part.
I remember the nun, but I don't remember her speaking French.
It's a blink and you miss it thing. She doesn't even speak French. It's just a woman speaking English and she's using a French accent, and that's the movie's justification.
Okay. Gotcha.
So they really poorly cover their bases twice.
Did she fucking hide him in a basement and hers was the only voice he heard for 10 years.
It was fucking dog tooth.
Oh no, here comes that monster again. It's just a cat.
Oh wow. It is so weird to grow up in France, right? Sister, yes, it is. We're in France. And he goes out. It's Hong Kong. She gives him a baguette every night.
Yeah, they justify it.
She gives him white bread and calls it a baguette.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He has no idea.
So yeah, that awkward scene happens. And then so there's this weird, like, Chad is just hanging out outside the Mahjong parlor when Zhang's dudes roll up.
Yes.
And kidnap him, thinking that he's Alex.
Yes.
And they go on a ride. And I guess, like, Chad's whole thing here is like, well, now I guess I'm undercover. Mm-hmm. Better play it cool. Because at first, he, on the initial outset, is like, no, you have the wrong guy, blah, blah, blah. But the mafia isn't hip to the fact that there are twins just yet.
And this is when Zhang pulls out the stupid cigar box.
Oh, right.
Like, would you like a cigar? I hate this stupid box. And even though, like, I don't know.
Why it's keep it?
A, why keep it? B, how would Chad know what that was? He looks at it, he's like, the initials of my father. It's like, how would you even know?
That I don't know, but as to why you keep it, Eric, dude, that's a fucking blood trophy.
That's true.
That's definitely what that is. And he even says, it's so stupid, he's like, oh, do you like this cigar case? Yes, I got it at an estate sale approximately 25 years ago.
I guess it's like that rumor that Stalin had a piece of Hitler's skull for like an ashtray.
Oh, wow. What? Oh,
that's fucking baller. Wouldn't that be
great? Stalin was a monster, but baller move.
I know. I want an ashtray made out of another podcaster's skull. To be determined.
You're putting out a cigar. Yeah, who are your guys, motherfucker?
Exactly.
No, we're not going to decapitate anyone. If anyone gets decapitated, it's us.
Not sure. Well, yeah, maybe.
I would have loved it if he had just put like scotch tape over the initials and put his own initials in Sharpie.
But he takes his thing is like, hey, first of all, that little stunt on the boat kind of put me back a bit. By the way, I've got a shipment coming in. We should be partners anyway, blah, blah, blah. And it's actually he's making him a business offer. You know what I mean?
He's offering him a job here. And this is where he mentions Zhang's like, by the way, yes, there were cartons of cigarettes, donkey brides, and cars on that thing. But also deep in that trunk that you, I guess, didn't know about or notice was there was a ton of fucking drugs in there. Mm. I think is the
insulin, penicillin, all sorts of,
ear medicine. Yeah, it's all there. So he's like, he brings Chad out and he's like, so what do you say, Chad? What do you say, Alex? And Chad responds, go fuck yourself.
Well, because he's like, oh, this lighter broke, this piece of shit. And he throws it on the floor. And go fuck yourself.
Fuck yourself.
And then this is when a couple of Zhang's dudes start fucking with Alex. He makes short work of him. He kicks one dude, right? He just kicks him in the stomach, gets him down.
So much kicking in this movie.
And Bolo Young comes out and he's like, I can't believe my fucking underling got kicked in the stomach. Let me break his neck in front of everyone. Like, I'm not going to work for this guy. You know what I mean? Like, I just got kicked. I'm sorry. First of all, no one told me this guy knew karate to begin with.
Well, I think that's why. Doesn't he have some line? Like, because he escapes or, you know, he comes back beaten up or whatever.
Yes.
And doesn't he say something to Jeffrey Lewis about, like, I could have taken him? Like, is he hiding his, like, supreme karate ability?
No, he says, I could have taken them all except for that big, ugly Chinese motherfucker. Big Bolo Young, like, beats the shit out of him. Like,
right. Well, he also, this was a quality move, speaking of Johnny Cage, because Van Damme tries for one of those glorious kicks, and Bolo fucking punches him right in the dick.
Yep.
Oh, my lord.
It's a dick punch.
It's a great dick punch.
Classic dick punch, dude.
And they beat him up and throw him in a storage container.
That dick's coughing up blood tonight. Call that dick's mama. He ain't coming home.
My God, his dick is dead. Jean-Claude Van Damme's dick is dead. Get a silk coffin for that dick, because that's where it needs to be.
Oh, no, here comes the VCR remote with the chair.
Call that dick's mama. He ain't coming home tonight. What's that? It's gonorrhea's music. That's gonorrhea coming down the causeway.
Then it's basically like, all right, so they beat you up. Now do you guys want to take these dudes down? And the fucking most horrendous double screen yet right here.
This is when he looks like a forest ghost.
It's here.
He's like blue. It's just like there is another kind of forest ghost.
Neither that fucking Padawan rat tail dude. And they're both like more or less simultaneously are like, I'm in.
And so this is Jeffrey Lewis's plan. They know this next shipment is coming. It's kind of like the end of Usual Suspects. We're on this boat. Jeffrey Lewis has a sniper rifle.
They have their hideout first because they have to go into hiding. They go to this old hotel on an island that's like abandoned.
Yeah, and it's like Pigeon Island.
Yeah, it's like the fucking hotel from Life Aquatic.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of is.
It's a weird fucking scene.
But it's basically like, this is more of, you know, Chad, who likes the finer things, is like, I thought you said we were going to a hotel. There's no place, there's no floor space without bird shit on it. Kind of a thing. He's being a little dainty, and that's the joke. And
my favorite thing is like Frank starts like clearly preferring Alex.
Oh,
at
immediately!
This point.
Yep, incredible. This is the son he always wanted.
Well, first of all, I think he sees those dollars. He opened those trunks and he saw dollar signs. It's like, man, I could sell that shitty karate business that's going under anyway. I think that's also part of it. It's like, I got to get to Hong Kong. I didn't pay my taxes in 9 years.
Oh, yeah.
I could get out from under Wanda. Finally.
Yeah, I'll just tell him tunnel money. We got to go there because of tunnel money.
Listen, I'll give you all the tunnel money. Just cut me into your illegal activities because of the tunnel.
He's like, this is what the plan is going to be Thursday night at Causeway Bay is when the drop is going to happen. So then this is where they go to like mess this whole drug operation up.
This is a fun scene. It's good fine. Action.
Not
stuff.
Too bad. Alex has a classic neck break right here. That's it's a pretty good, like, he holds the dude's head and then like pushes the rest of his body forward and like breaks his neck. Interesting neck break.
Other Alex question. Why is he just as proficient at karate as Chad is? And
yeah, I mean, I guess that's the lame.
I
like,
mean, they, what they should do is
raised
like,
in Hong Kong.
Chad is like white guy karate, LA dojo. Like Alex should be like kung fu.
Yes,
you know,
different
like
styles.
The style.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Or actually, the trailer kind of sets this up. The bad trailer,
because
it's like one is good with his fists, and they show Chad doing stuff,
right,
and the other is good with guns. Like maybe Alex is just a gun guy.
Yeah, why not?
Which is fine.
But that's you're right though. That's the way the trailer positions it. That's the way the movie should have positioned it. But then also the other way, it also goes sort of incorrectly.
Yes.
Because once Chad gets a gun in his hand, he's fucking super proficient at using these machine guns and shit. Yeah. It's like, well, you weren't doing that at the dojo.
Well, Chad. who knows what happened in France, man?
Yeah. Oh, right. I keep forgetting about
that. They left France because they failed to overthrow the government. Fled to America.
That makes sense.
This shootout is awesome, and it started by Chad because Alex is trying to like sneakily breaks that dude's neck and whatnot. And then fucking Chad just kicks this dude in the face and he falls into a bunch of boxes and all these other guys are like, all right, well, someone's here. And this is where this shootout really takes off.
And then you got all sorts of double guns going on. We're doing the spin with the double guns, the roll, which whenever I see somebody do that in a movie where like somebody, it's the cool thing where I'm rolling and I'm shooting guns.
It right.
Just shoot him in the back. Like, I don't know. Like he's on the floor. Just shoot him
Spray
in the back.
Spray the floor, dude. Do it.
I'm just imagining they're hitting anything but the target.
Yeah.
When you're doing that.
Exactly.
Like I know in action movies that's always really bad, but like this movie there were so many times where I was like, how is he not just shot in the fucking face? Like there's one part where this dude, like later in the movie, I think it's like maybe the final face off or something, is firing a machine gun and you see JCVD, he turns around, he's running away with Danielle, he turns around and just looks, he stops dead and looks back down this hallway while this guy's firing the machine gun, and it's like, well, you're dead.
Yes.
Why did you stop and look?
No. Nope,
you're dead.
It's a canny bit of filmmaking. The rest is a death dream.
Oh, look at that.
As so often
I think
is.
That's correct. That's a fan theory, right?
Probably.
Oh, no. Actually, there weren't twins at all, by the way. It's all one guy, and he's crazy.
Oh, right. Like, Alex is like what he wishes he could be because he's too, like, repressed or something.
This was all an operation to take down the one guy who could tell the difference between Alex and Chad.
That'd be great if JCVD showed up to Fight Club. And it's just like, it's a bunch of fat guys. And he's like, yes, I'm just a stockbroker. What do I know about? And he just starts beating the shit out of Meatloaf.
Oh, what is it? Like when someone comes to a poker game and they're like, oh, I guess I won this hand.
Exactly. Like, whatever. I mean, like they blow up this boat.
Oh, yeah.
Frank is also an explosives expert, which makes me very nervous. I don't know what Frank is. And he
Frank
says he was.
He was in Vietnam.
He was in Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He's a security professional. Yeah, so I guess he's sort of like Brian Mills.
Right.
The next thing is like Jean-Claude Van Damme had a whiteboard somewhere. He's like, okay, we have boats in check. Tuxedo scene time. Which is like, it's a great line from Danielle. She's like, well, there is a very important meeting tonight at the Climax Club. I'm not sure if you want to go there. And I'm like, hold on, the what club?
Oh, dude, and did you notice in the credits, by the way? You better believe it's Climax with a K.
Oh, is it?
Geez. Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, once Zhang beats the shit out of Alex, has his guys beat the shit out of Chad, I'm sorry, he says, by the way, whatever you come to your senses, I would like some more of your precious brandy. So, or cognac.
Cognac.
So oh, that's yeah. what they're going to do, is they're going to pretend they're going to bring cognac to this club. This is when, and again, like, it's your classic, like, stupid 80s boardroom scene. It's all, we rip off the Untouchables for a little bit.
Oh, because he kills that guy?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Because it's like basically, like, it's this is when Griffith kind of takes center stage. He hasn't really talked yet. And he also has his number two named Kara.
Yes.
Who hasn't really been in the movie. The movie's kind of like scattershot with who's in this gang. There's also a dude with spurs who shows up, now he's got razor spurs.
He like he roundhouse kicks someone and the spur cuts their throat.
Pretty great.
Amazing. I was mistaken. I thought that dude wearing the spurs, because when he's introduced, it's like you just see the boots.
Yes.
I thought that was Bolo. No. So I was getting really confused. I was like, what a nice touch for Bolo. Like,
why haven't we had a Western where someone's throat got cut with spurs? How cool would that be?
Well, because people would scream out, hey, that's in Double Impact, motherfucker.
Would they?
No, they wouldn't.
No, they definitely would not be. One of them, I believe this is Alex, I think, walks in first with the case of cognac. And he's like, my favorite of these henchmen is the dude who looks like washed up Fabio.
Yes.
Yeah, this guy with just the lion's mane and some indistinguishable European accent.
He's a very wet man.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. His hair is greased at all times. It's like down to his shoulders.
He's like, hey, Alex, your bruise is cleared up pretty well. That's what he says.
That's what he does. Yeah. So he tells this dude, like, listen, you got to go back. Mr. Griffith and Mr. Zhang are back there, and they want to speak to you immediately.
Yes.
And he's like, well, all right, but you know, I got another case of cognac here, you know, out in the car that I got to go get. Meanwhile, another case has already been delivered. Yes. I think is the situation.
And so Jeffrey Lewis has like the bomb detonation thing, and he's like, also, this other lady, this clearly a prostitute, is trying to pick him up, and he's like, no, no. She's like, oh, you look like Sean Connery. He's like, oh, yeah?
Oh, say.
I do have a gold finger.
No, he said what when she said that? Yeah. And I was like, is that a good what, or is he offended?
No way. Anybody doesn't look like Sean Connery.
In 1991? Yeah.
Untouchables, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's like playing Indiana Jones' dad, like year or the next year? When was Last Crusade?
That's 89, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Or 88.
So, I mean, he might take it as being old.
Yeah, I think that's what I assumed that it was, too. But so finally she's like, oh, do you want to dance? And Jeffrey Lewis is like, as a matter of fact, yes, now I would like to dance. Let's get out of here. And there's a weird, like, it never pays off, really, but it's like, JCVD jumps to the ground right here.
Yeah.
And then it's like, delay. And then the fucking bomb goes off.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was, like this poor communication from the team, but like they never touch on it.
I think it's supposed to be a gag kind of, because the guy's laughing a little bit, but it's not very, like you said, it's not like a snappy, good gag.
It doesn't make sense as to what you're supposed to think of this delay in the explosion situation, but this fucking thing goes off, kills a bunch of people immediately in the boardroom.
This is when Zhang and Griffith and Kara and Spurs guy all find both of the Jean-Claude Van Dams, and it's the trailer of, there's two of them.
And it's Griffith that says it?
That's Zhang, actually.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, it's Zhang, yeah. And it's whatever. But it's
great.
It's just kind of great. I mean, like, why would you care? Just shoot them both in the head.
Also, like, who is that line for?
Great question.
You know what I mean? Like, we've been sitting with these two motherfuckers for the whole movie. We know.
And also, you're not afraid of the one guy. Why would you be afraid of two? It doesn't make any sense. They kind of, more action, there's a great part here. Alex, because he's so badass, drinks some Johnny Walker Red and then breaks the glass with his hand.
Which, like, is ridiculous.
Now I couldn't believe it.
You're just like trying to injure yourself in a fight.
Exactly. Like, I know that you're trying to like make it even because you're such a good fighter, but it makes no sense.
I don't know. It was weird and also very cool.
I mean, it was very cool.
But then the very even cooler thing that happens right after that, though, is he smashes that glass in his hand. Then he picks up two scotch bottles and bangs him in this dude's head at the same time, like a Three Stooges bit.
That looked great.
You'd probably be dead after that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that dude's definitely dead.
Well, also, you can't pick it up because your hand is bleeding profusely because you, for some reason, decided to crush a glass.
Yeah, there's a bunch of fucking glass in your hand.
That's what happens to people.
And if you're going to smash, they're going to go deeper. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
So the next,
think a little bit.
The next movement of this movie is basically Alex has been like, hey, to Danielle, like, look, I know you're working for Griffith. He's got to have some sort of deed to this bridge, this tunnel, something, something. Go find it in the files.
Yep.
So there's two scenes. One, she goes, she's looking through the files. Kara is the head security officer. Is like, can I help you with something? And she's like, no. And she kind of runs away.
Right.
The second scene, this is after the explosion, and everyone's kind of on to everybody else, I guess.
Sure.
So she's like, hey, look, she goes into this, I guess there's one room that has files in it.
For this massive corporation.
I think it's called the file room.
Yeah, this is the illegal file room. The illegal file room is down the hallway.
And it's much larger.
Yes. But
To Steve's point, it's a very small room for a supposedly such massive company. All your documents are in this one little closet. Okay.
And everyone like is very concerned when people are going in there. I don't know. But she's like, hey, I'm filing. I don't know.
Yeah, if it's the file room, like, what does it matter?
She's high. I mean, she's high enough in the corporation to be in the illegal file room.
Yeah, exactly.
She's assistant to the head of the company. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, she probably can go wherever.
I'm looking through old illegal stuff to do more illegal stuff. Yeah. this guy is calling about an invoice for some drug deal we did 10 years ago. I just got to make sure that it got paid.
You know what? Everything would be better if drug dealers and the like could have the freedom to file in such a way and not be worried about it, concerned about it, and have that invoice and be like, okay, that's what went down. You know, but
yeah.
The cops want to bust them. It's just the whole thing.
So this time when Danielle tries to exit the file room, Kara kind of blocks the doorway.
Yes.
There's a very weird frisking scene here.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is like, well, I want like a women in prison kind of scene. Yeah, I know it doesn't fit. I don't care.
But you know what? It's a file room that's very small. It looks almost like a jail cell anyway.
She's getting sexually terrorized at work, and I guess it's a good thing it wasn't a man doing it. I mean, it's nice that you have a female heavy.
Yeah.
I'll say that much.
I will say that much. And it's like, I actually was kind of, her death kind of sucks in this movie, which kind of bums me out.
It sucks. And you also realize, by the way, speaking of our Patreon episode for this month, this We Love Movies GoldenEye episode, she's fucking Xenia Onatopping before Xenia Onatopp was on top of anything.
It's true. She's proto Xenia Onatopp.
Totally.
But she like does this thing and like, yeah, it's, she doesn't have enough of a character to be a character.
No, because you all the
time. She's, like, she's cool in this movie. Like, I'll watch her beat the shit out of somebody, rip somebody's head off.
It's fine because that's like, you're the number two heavy, like whatever. But then this scene where it's like she fucking like puts her hands all over this woman and like Danielle, the actress playing Danielle, like has this visible like gasp of uncomfortableness.
Yeah. Right.
And that we're later led to believe is because this woman is actually planting a wire on her.
Oh, is that what happened?
Really?
What?
I didn't know that. I thought it was just like, it was like, okay, I'm going to search you. And then it got into weird territory.
Then at the end, she goes, now you can frisk me, which means like, hey, this was a sexual experience for somebody.
Yes. But later, as in like the next scene or so, like she's on the telephone and they're hearing her. And then you think like, okay, the phone is bugged. And she puts the phone down and is speaking. And they can still hear her in the boardroom.
Where did that microphone go?
Yeah, what the fuck?
That's what I'm saying is weird.
Okay. That was cut out because it was too evasive.
That's too much.
Like, this just doesn't make any sense.
Straight up a sexual assault scene.
Oh, but for sure. And also, like, what is it doing anywhere near this movie?
Right. Well, credit, Jean-Claude Van Damme. We discussed it at the top of the show.
This is wetting your beak for the imaginary sex scene, which is quite explicit.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get there.
So that's what happens. She calls up. It's great. There's this amazing. She's like, it's this really incredibly weird scene that out of nowhere in this movie.
Yeah.
She calls. We cut to Jeffrey Lewis and Alex cutting trees in the jungle, having a good old time.
Yep. And different movie entirely.
Gathering firewood.
Yes.
To cook ramen noodles.
Well, that's the thing. Chad is in the kitchen making salt pasta, and fucking it picks up the phone and is like, "Yeah, Alex isn't here. He's in the jungle with Frank. Like, whoops-a-doo. Okay. Like, what the fuck? Who has ever said that?
They're hunting a human being for sport. It's a different movie.
How big is this island that Chad couldn't find Alex and Frankie?
In 2 minutes.
Right. He just decides to, all right, I'm going to go save her from this situation.
Yes.
Take the boat, the only way they can get off of the island.
Yep.
And then I'll come back.
Yeah, well, it's like going camping with somebody and somebody takes the car. It's like, that's not cool. Like, you need to talk to everybody before you take the car.
Yeah. That's exactly what this is. So he hauls ass to the Mahjong Palace and goes in the back room. He's like, oh, Zutelo, what is going on here, Danielle? And then Kara and the rest of the goon squad shows up.
Kara, by the way, was wearing leather pants. That's tomorrow. She wears, later in the movie, she goes on a raid in hot pants, which is really something.
Yep. Well, again, writing credit.
Got
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they come in. This is when the guy gets his throat cut with the fucking spur.
It's so awesome.
But Alex comes back and, you know, what you call it? Chad is gone. He's like, oh my God, he went to go see Danielle. He's like, he went to see Danielle, my goodness. And he calls up the Mahjong parlor and the guy won't put him on because of all this other stuff going on. So he thinks some weird shit's going on. Chad and Danielle go on the run, and as they're going on the run, this is when Alex starts drinking and starts fighting this house.
Yes,
right.
It's my favorite part of the movie.
He's got nothing else to do. He's stranded on this desert island with fucking Jeffrey Lewis, so he's going to drink an entire bottle of Johnny Walker Red, fight the walls, and imagine his brother, essentially picturing himself having illicit sex with his girlfriend.
Like in the same place they shot the Paula Abdul and the cat video.
I think it was in the same sense.
We come together, comes opposites attract.
I don't know how else to say, describe
it's
the
Red Shoe Diaries scene.
It's incredible.
We're suddenly in Tit City.
The breasts are crazy.
It's fucking nuts.
His fucking butt cheeks are all over this, though. Don't leave his butt cheeks out of it.
I do like a cheeky situation.
But I mean, there's like neon lights everywhere. It's fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous. It has no place in this movie.
It's crazy. And he's like, what are you looking at, house? And he's like, starts punching this thing.
How dare you, staircase railing?
And it's like, they're fucking in like a laundry room or something in this imagination. There's fucking sheets hanging, fluttering in the breeze. I thought I saw Michael Myers in the background somewhere, but... It is really weird and raunchy, and it's just in this nether space, like this Ninja 3 the Domination area.
What's weird, though, is that you mentioned the laundry shit, and it just reminded me of Chad and Danielle are on this boat coming back to the island.
Yes, there's a big action scene. They come up, they do the thing.
Yeah, so one of the things was they like had to fucking jump into the water and whatnot, so they're both wet, and so she's got like a blanket over her chest or whatever, and she's drying the shirt like on a laundry line on the boat. But then Alex's fantasy, this booze-filled fantasy, also has the laundry in it. So I think this is one of those weird twins with the fucking brainwaves thing.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Well, also, Danielle is clearly thinking about fucking Chad in that moment.
Oh, they're exchanging some looks. She's picturing the life she could have in L.A., being the, like, maybe she's like the manager at Rhonda's workout kind of a thing.
Sure, you know? Better. Well, she's not going back to work, that's for sure. No. That's over.
Definitely
with.
Fired.
Or quitting.
No, they fired her first. You know, Chad, that's how those things go.
Chad should have just taken that boat to America, dude. Fucking goodbye.
They left. I can't believe I'm going to fight another house now.
He's just shoving houses.
Did you know walk-in closet? Did you know about them?
It is.
You talk to me.
Demo day.
The roundhouse, this kitchenette, you son of a bitch.
It's insane. And so they get back to the island. He's like, well, well, well. Look who's just come from a fresh fuck at the laundromat or whatever.
And this is where it gets even weirder. So, I mean, like, you know, he's like, he's obviously really drunk. Like, Jeffrey Lewis is like, whatever, I'm not involved in this.
Yeah.
They start arguing.
Mr. Silk underwear.
That is a line that me and my brother have been saying for 25 years.
Mr. Silk underwear?
Mr. Silk underwear. Like that's it. That's all you need to say.
It's the first draft of Little Rich Boy?
Yeah. Oh, look at you, Mr. Silicon Underwear.
what this scene does not need for this character, because we understand, like, Alex is the rough and tumble one. We just saw him beat up a house while having a sexual fantasy about his brother and his girlfriend. But then, like, in the heat of the moment, like, Chad is like, yo, chill out. And he's like, oh, chill out. This is where he calls him Mr. Silkandor because of the chill out. Oh, you talk like you're from L.A. or whatever. And then he fucking, of course, written by Jean-Claude Van Damme, I guess, has to punch this woman in the face.
A little bit.
For no, like, what the fuck are you doing, movie?
It never gets addressed. Nope. It happens. She's obviously upset, but it's not like, also, bad day for her, by the way, in case you're keeping score. But, like, it's at the end of the movie, it's like, I'm so sorry, I was drunk. Or maybe she even says, fuck that guy, I want to go with the other one. Like,
I thought the end of the movie was she was going to be going with Chad.
Yeah, which is, you know, that guy's not abusive and weird, you know?
You can come manage my aerobic studio / karate dojo.
You can come on, you can read lines. I'm going to start going on auditions soon.
I think right as, like, this... the argument hits, like, full tilt boogie right here. I believe, did anybody catch this? Alex calls Chad a frat boy pussy.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think that was floating around in here also.
This is when they start finally fight each other, which is kind of like, I mean, like, it's the wrong way to get this scene, but that's kind of why I bought a ticket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme is going to fight himself.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, they're fighting each other. It's kind of
fine.
It's something.
Yeah. That house takes more of a beating.
Yeah.
I guess they got some decent stunt people. Like, the back of the heads look fine.
Sure.
It's very darkly lit, you know, so you're getting away with a lot here. But then this is a weird... You know, Jeffrey Lewis is like, you're fucking drunk, blah, 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 Alex. Like, let go cool off. And he goes, yeah, well, tomorrow I'll be sober, but he'll still be a fucking slur. And you're just like, eh.
Two. Man. You needed two.
Come on.
That's over the Bill and Ted quotient.
That's right. Now these guys are no longer lovable losers.
Wait, Bill and Ted had what?
One each
Journey.
Movie.
Oh, really? One each movie?
Yeah.
I thought it was more in Bogus Journey, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's still just the one because they rehashed the same joke. Quote unquote joke.
That was a big box on JCVD's dry erase board. two of them.
Do you guys think the third movie they're going to say it?
I don't think
so.
The nostalgia for saying it, though, guys. Come on.
I don't think that's going to happen. They have a big fight or whatever. Chad's like, all right, fuck this. Yeah. I'm out. And Jeffrey Lewis is like, well, what are you going to do? You can't take the boat back to Los Angeles or whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to swim then. And you're like, all right.
Oh,
like,
you're
fuck
dead.
Fuck him. I'll swim.
But what about the tunnel money? The tunnel money.
I don't understand. You know what, Frank? Actually, thank you for bringing that up. How are we going to get money from this tunnel? What are the financial situations of us getting money from the tunnel?
Well, listen to this. We're going to set up our own toll booth before the real toll booth.
It'll be Alex and Chad's toll booth. Or you'll do a tour. Hey, we're the real tunnel guys. I got a bunch of tunnel t-shirts made up.
It's just the tunnel reality tour.
It'll just be me in the middle of the road with a cardboard sign that says toll on it.
You see these two twins? Their parents died, but those parents helped make the tunnel. $20, please. $20, you can see the twins.
They're both in really good shape.
He just got a little curtain covering them up.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a P.T. Barnum freak show.
Look at this. Twins.
Dun, dun, dun.
Look, they're going to fight each other in karate.
Fight each other, slip me another 20. Maybe they'll fuck each other.
We might do an Eiffel Tower if we get lucky.
You can volunteer from the audience to the Eiffel Tower.
They both pass out the next day. This is the raid on the island. There's all these, like, soldiers all of a sudden.
Well, it's a weird, like, Kara has taken Chopper and followed the boat back and knows where the hotel is.
Tunnel money will get you an army.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's got hot pants on, which I really think it's a totally insane outfit to wear.
Yeah, you're going on a mission.
Yeah,
it's hot out.
It's, I guess so.
It is hot out.
But then all the bugs are getting your legs, man. That no. island, there's bugs on that island. You kidding
sure.
me?
It's true.
But this pretty much sets up the end of the movie yeah. here. Danielle and Jeffrey Lewis, they're captured.
Hold on. She got kidnapped?
Yeah. Well, wow. The funny thing was I was like doing some like predicto movie. Yeah. And I was like, well, they're going to fucking shoot him in the head and kidnap her.
Yeah.
Shockingly, both of them are kidnapped. Couldn't believe that.
They kidnapped the both of them. And then like Alex and Chad kind of infiltrate this one guy to find out where they are. And
oh, right. Do we see this dude getting tortured at all?
No, they say that they're going to. Like, Alex is like, I'm going to make him talk. He's got this big motherfucking knife.
I need to see, like, his nipple cut off.
Yeah. Because if we had that, like, you could keep the same runtime and get that fucking ridiculous sex scene out of this
movie.
That'd
be cool.
It's just unnecessary.
Or it's like good cop, bad cop, but they both look the same. That's a scene.
Oh, yeah.
I'm losing track of which one of you is which.
It's like not working because they're like, you're just an asshole. Like, you just, can you be nice and then you hurt me? And
no, not- that's a different guy. I'm your only friend in this situation.
Did you read the name tag?
So they infiltrate this. It's a boat. It's the Golden Fury or some horse shit.
Oh, sure.
That's in this boardroom scene. It's like, this is our final. It's a great. This is the vague drug trade. Griffith is like, it's our final coup de grace. We'll bringing drugs from Hong Kong to America. They're so worried about South America, they'll never think about Hong Kong.
Oh, right. Great.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So, yeah, they infiltrate.
It'll only take 6 weeks for drugs to get from one port to the next.
Essentially the same plot as Inherent Vice.
Kind of sort
with
of
that drug boat going back and forth.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, maybe that was inspired by this.
Oh yeah, I can imagine Pete Anderson like this movie.
Thomas Pynchon just watching Double Impact.
Well, I think all the
yes,
all the auteurs were inspired, right, Chris? The Bird Shit Island was inspired Wes Anderson for Life Aquatic. Mm-hmm.
And all the sex scenes, that's a Lars von Trier right there.
Exactly, 100%.
Yeah, Danielle keeps taking naps in this movie. Very melancholy ass.
Oh, yeah.
She fucks that dude in a golf course. That's weird. So they sneak out of the boat and whatever. There's a great, like, one of them is disguised as, you know, one of the military dudes or whatever. And so I believe it's Chad gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
Or just, like, you know, held at gunpoint or whatever. And he's like, your brother's missing the party or whatever it is. And he's like, yeah, my brother hates parties. And then like this dude gets his neck broken immediately.
It's kind of great. You know, it's the same boat, right? It has to be the same boat from earlier in the movie. Now it's just daytime. They're filming it from a different angle. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, for sure. Cause they had the one boat.
Yep.
And now Jeffrey Lewis and again, like Jeffrey Lewis and Danielle are getting tortured below the decks or whatever.
I think it's just Jeffrey Lewis.
It
really
is.
He's getting this fucking steam to the chest. Ooh, that's got a sting.
And they're making their way through the thing and there's an intercom and he's like, well, welcome to your doom, Chad and Alex.
Hello, Chad and Alex. Welcome to the end of the movie.
It's like this thing where it's like... And he's like, oh, you know what? If you don't tell me where you are in 2 seconds, I'm going to shoot Frank in the head. And you hear the gunshot. And he's like, well, that's just for their benefit. But next time, Frank, I'm going to do it. Like, no, just kill him. There's
just
no benefit.
This dude.
There's no benefit to keeping him alive.
You fucking hate him. First of all, you clearly hate this dude. Just kill him.
He served his. It would serve a better purpose in the film if he did get shot in the head, because then Chad could learn to grow as a human being.
Well, there's also no. He has no dialogue or movement after he gets fake
shot.
He
might
anyway.
As well be dead.
Yeah.
Also, well, he ruined your first attempt to kill these little fuckers.
Yeah, that's true.
You were gonna murder these babies, and then you didn't get to because of this piece of shit.
I think you're waiting for the sequel, which would be Quadruple Impact, where there's another. There were actually quadruplets for Quadruplets? What?
Quadruplets?
Man, you guys need to go back to high school. You guys
I'm actually with Eric
Billy
on this
Madison
one.
Yes.
What, do you have it, Chris?
No, I do not.
All right.
But I'm not going to try.
I know what it is, but I'm not going to say it because I think you guys would benefit from learning.
Because I know it's quintuplets.
Well, that's
sure.
five.
Yeah, but that's five minus one.
But did you hear about the real shit?
It's quadruplets. What?
The real shit about the sequel?
What's that? Oh, yes.
That it's in development now,
no,
maybe?
Shut the fuck up. Are you kidding me? They're making a sequel now to this movie?
In like 2010, it started talking like we're working on the script.
Yeah,
and
that
like
sounds about right.
Lead up to the Expendables movies he was in like 2012, they were talking about it again. And they're still like saying it's going to happen.
Did you read what the plot was?
I did and I forgot.
What? It's basically Chad goes back to L.A. and becomes a movie producer.
Uh-huh.
And then he starts getting messed with, which the plot that JCVD says, by the South Central mob, which you know what that means.
Uh-huh.
And then Alex has to come in and do some stuff.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Fun.
Is it called Four Impact?
I would love... It's, oh my God! We would do. There's four effect. Of them.
So whatever, they're separated here. They're fighting in different parts of the boat. Whatever. One of them, I don't know which
Alex. If you're talking about, what I'm thinking you're talking about
the fight with the Eugene Levy stunt double in the darkness.
That's Spurs guy.
That's Spurs guy. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it's like this weird, surreal. It reminds me of the sex scene earlier. It's like, what is this movie doing? Like, what fucking nether realm is he in that he's fighting this dude?
I think he's fighting him in Outworld, dude. It's like the gateway to Outworld. Because, yeah, this guy keeps, like, dipping back in and out of the shadows. It is Eugene Levy's stunt double with a fucking awesome mullet, too. And he eventually, like, JCVD shatters a window and some light comes in. And he finds this guy and just, again, breaks his neck. We are breaking so many necks in this movie.
Then we finally have the final fight between Alex and Bola Yang. And this is the fucking...
He's playing Donkey Kong.
He's playing exactly Donkey Kong.
Because Bolo is picking up. He's fucking jacked as shit, man. He takes his shirt off. He's lifting up these barrels of toxic waste and hawking them at this guy.
Yes, I would love if fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme is just walking.
Bolo Young's like, oh no, he got the hammer. I got to run backwards for a little bit.
Yeah, like, and that was Mario, right, in that game?
Yeah,
that was Mario, like, yeah. People forget Mario's been on his own adventures forever, but remember that dude, like, started trying to kill a donkey.
Not a donkey. A gorilla.
A gorilla named Donkey.
Yes. I mean, basically.
Figured that out.
Like, imagine right now, you, like, say you're a plumber.
Sure.
And you have a hammer, and you're going to go, like, I need to go and fucking bash that ape's brains in. It'd be tough in real life, let alone barrels hanging out.
Well, that's the thing, right? He's not just doing it for no reason. This ape's hucking barrels.
And he stole his lady, by the way.
Oh, right, the kidnapping.
And he's, well, Donkey Kong is angry and resentful because he's the bastard son of King Kong.
Mm,
and clearly they're just like, oh, you're just a donkey. You're not a real gorilla.
Just like his father, he wants to impregnate a woman and make a human Z.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he tried to do something new. He's trying to throw barrels rather than just, like, bring her to the top of a building.
I will say, because Donkey Kong's also had his own adventures. I think that this...
He did, yeah.
Donkey Kong got in some bad cocaine one time, and then he stole this. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It was a bad couple of months.
Like, yeah, exactly. Fucking going on a tear. Exactly. Like the end of a bender.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you got a little Italian guy trying to hit you in the head with a hammer.
Like, what the fuck did I do last night? Jesus. And you know, whatever. Yeah, it's a pretty good fight. It is a
good fight.
Hilariously, Bolo rips off JCVD's shirt. He's like, oh no, my beautiful abs are exposed. And this is a problem. I think there's not enough good deaths for everybody. The two main villains have great deaths, but, like,
yes, A+.
Bullying just kind of gets, like, thrown into the electricity, and he goes,
Yeah. Like, I was not actually enough. Expecting him to live through that.
Yeah.
Or get more powerful.
Yeah, that would be like the electric gremlin dude.
Well, never catch him.
Yeah, he's Blanca.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Now he's in the phone lines, and suddenly he's, like, at the dojo waiting for them when they get back because he's, like...
With a killer prank call.
Yeah, he's, like, in the intercom screaming.
What a great stinger scene. It's like, the credits roll. They come back to the dojo. It's like, oh, Frankie, 12 new messages. And he hits the button, and an electric Bolo Young comes out.
Absolutely.
I would love that.
But no, this dude just drops dead, which is fine. And then... the other JCVD at this point has a fight with Kara.
Yeah.
Very briefly. She has a good line. It's you and I, dickhead.
Yeah, pretty she's like choking him with her thighs. There's that going on.
Yeah.
Very Zenyatta top. He stabs her in the heart, I believe, with her own knife.
Yes, very slowly and anticlimactically.
She needs to get impaled on something.
Oh, absolutely.
Or like a grenade.
Why? Is that like phallic for you?
No.
Is that fucking doing it for you?
No, it's not doing anything.
Just saying, she needs like a crazy over the top dad.
Exactly.
Yes, where's right. that you're fucking right. the well, steam hose? Right.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Like burn. Someone needs to get that steam hose to the fucking face. That's exactly. what it should have been.
That should have been Zhang, dude. Like, it melts his face off like fucking Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, I was about to say like a Raiders of the Lost Ark type of effect shot.
She does have a great move on JCVD here, though. Another fucking getting your dick pulled.
Yes.
She just grabs onto that thing. That's pretty great.
Yikes. And whatever. I mean, like, that's then it's great because Griffith and Zhang are like, oh no, all of our bodyguards are dead. Let's run away.
You hear the Scooby-Doo.
And they split up, and it's kind of hilarious. And Alex and Chad split up too. And both of them are just yelling the name of the guy they're after. Yep. It's like, Griffith! Zhang!
It's
Griffith!
So great.
Zhang! Griffith! Zhang!
That's terrifying. Two little guys running after each of you. Like, oh my God.
Oh my God, I just figured it out. This movie is Mario Brothers because they look exactly the
right.
same.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Only separated by color a little bit.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if the
length, not color, pube length.
Yes.
That's the big difference.
Like if the Mario Brothers were raised in France instead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so great deaths here. Griffith chases Chad and Danielle out to the end of the boat, and he's driving this rig that's got a shipping container on it, and he's just going closer and closer and closer. And Chad pushes Danielle like into the water, like, swim, fucker, I'll take care of this. But and this is, I mean, it's fucking great because he lifts the thing up. Death. And he doesn't see them there. He looks at, he's like firing the gun like into the water, like trying to still get him, I guess. Whoops, JCVD sneaks around. Now he's driving this rig and he fucking drops the shipping container right on this dude. Oh, is it glorious?
It's pretty good. He screams. And then Zhang and Alex are fighting on top of like this big crane thing with all these gears. His hand gets mangled and I'm yep. like, ah!
I was shocked that it was still attached to his arm.
Yes.
Because it looked like the teeth on this thing were going to rip right off.
I thought Zhang was going to be completely, his whole body mangled in some
gears.
That would have been cool.
Which would have been great, but instead it just, he falls off the crane.
But like his hand gets mangled and then he keeps continue talking to Alex. He's like, we can cut a deal, this, that. I'd be like, dude, you got to give me a minute here. My hand is totally. Pulp. I don't have a hand anymore.
I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I know it looks like I'm still alive. I'm fucking dead.
Please feel free to push me off this, break my neck, whatever you would like to do to me. I'm definitely dead.
But yeah, it's a good long drop thing. This movie ends immediately.
He lands, I have to say, half on a bunch of crates and half not, which is fucking awesome.
It's great. You see like the crate explode from the impact of his body.
Totally. So yeah, the day is saved. Frank is somehow still alive. That was stupid. He's sort of like hobbles around the corner, has no lines at all.
Exactly. He needs to have like, oh, well, I was glad I got you boys together. Oh, by the way, I get like a finder's fee on that tunnel, whatever that is. What's 10% of fake bullshit?
Yeah. Once we straighten out all this tunnel madness.
He really should have died. There should be some body count on the other side of the
exactly.
equation.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
and on the other side, Danielle and her abuser are getting back romantically.
Well, yeah that's sure. a weird, like the three of them come together and like Chad is helping Danielle up or whatever. And then what is the other one?
Alex.
Jeez, I've been saying it the whole time. How do I forget at the end? Comes up and like Chad kind of like hands her up like, here's the merchandise. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm backing away now.
Yeah, and he gives him like an okay sign. That's it.
And that's, we freeze frame on that.
He's got the babe squad back in L.A.
Yeah, he's not too worried about
it. Even if he got with her, maybe he'd like be like, all right, that's enough. Yeah, I got my babe squad.
That's enough. Yeah, but we freeze frame on that. We close out. It's the end of the movie.
We cut to.
Yes.
This is music.
Pretty great.
Can't afford CNC? Get these back.
Jump back.
I like the added punches.
This is terrible and awesome. Yeah. This is great.
Yes, dude, this. And now that functioned as a review, so it's totally within fair use.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
that's definitely going to stop the lawsuits.
I think it's a good song, and you should all buy it.
I don't even know if you can. If you notice, the song is exactly as long as the credits is. So they were just like, dude, do a bad rap over this credit sequence.
Yep. That's all you needed.
For a moment there, I thought it was Jean-Claude Van Damme doing
rap. Oh, no. I was like,
wait a minute.
Something. He wishes, man.
Joe Pesci can do it, Jean-Claude.
Oh my God.
Give me the rent. Give me the rent.
I think Joe Pesci might actually be my favorite rapper.
It's not Rodney?
No, I think Joe's got him beat. I'm sorry. I mean,
rapping Rodney is exquisitely terrible.
Are they going to de-age Joe Pesci to rap in The Irishman? Or not?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
That is the end of this movie. Would anybody recommend it?
I would. I think it's, you know, it's a stupid, if you like dumb as dirt 90s action movies, it's exactly what it is. Trigger warnings, like legit trigger warnings for all the horrible shit that happens. Other than that, if you're okay just watching that, we're in a great spot.
It's a light recommend. This would have been a full-on recommend, 20 minutes cut off.
Yeah, it's a little long.
We're talking an hour and 50 minutes here, 5-0.
Some of the bigger sequences just go on forever, like the first raid when they blow up the factory and even the final raid. It just goes on a little longer than it needs to. But other than that, it's a fun time.
I do agree with Chris that the runtime, you start to feel it. I think there's a little too much of just like sitting in the soft leather chair that is Hong Kong. Right. Let's get to it already. Let's get to it. But I would recommend it because it is fun, dumb action. It'd be a good hangover movie because you could fall asleep to parts.
Oh, for sure.
Over long. But it's also probably a good, like, super fucked up movie. Like, you're getting super fucked up tonight.
Yes. I agree with the super fucked up movie.
Sure, yeah. Definitely be super fucked up to this movie. Yeah, it's a light recommend for me. I had fun with it. You know, the dated material aside there. Yeah, I guess just as far as like weighing it against the other JCVD I've seen, like it's probably not at the top, but like it's watchable, you know, a lot of fun. Jeffrey Lewis, really great, you know, so like there's things to like about it. But yeah, man, I was feeling that 110 minutes. Like it was a bit much. Like these kinds of movies need to be 90 minutes. Like that's the genius of Commando, is that it's fucking 89 minutes long.
Smart move.
God bless it.
Yeah, it should be Commando, but it's not.
Yeah, exactly. So that is Double Impact, directed by Sheldon Lettich. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out patreon.com/WeHateMovies. This month, we are releasing the first ever We Love Movies Patreon bonus, GoldenEye. Loving it.
Oh, yeah, man. We're also on a West Coast tour coming up pretty soon. That's going to be exciting.
That is right.
November 6th, 7th, and 10th, we're going to be in San Francisco, Portland, and Los Angeles talking about The Rock, The Kindergarten Cop, and Karate Kid, respectively. Check out our WHM podcast tour tab.
So next week, as always here on We Hate Movies, by the way, every Tuesday there's a new episode, man. So don't even sweat it. Steve Sadek, what are we talking about next week?
Our unofficial 90s month rolls on with a Dustin Hoffman horror movie.
Oh, could it be
Star Wars?
It's Sphere.
Sphere, man. Oh, I've seen this movie quite a bit.
I think that's late 90s.
Yeah. We're traveling around the globe a little bit.
Sure. Or the decade.
Come
or
with
around
us.
The sphere.
Oh, dude.
You know, the planet is kind of like a sphere.
So until next week when we go back to Crichton Town, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.